Thanks for tuning in to New Life Sermon Series Online. If you're blessed by these messages and are interested in helping spread the word of God to others, make an investment today. You can give at newlifechurchsf.org. If you have a story or a testimony to share, let us know on our website as well. We hope you have a blessed day and enjoy today's message by Pastor Alex.
All right, are you guys ready for the word of God? Today we're starting a new series called Reset, and we're going to talk about marriage for the first couple of weeks, and then we're going to talk about how to get married, and we're going to talk about relationships, and we're just going to talk about resetting. You know, the culture gives us a way we should do things, but there's a biblical way, and there's a way that God tells us to do things. And how many of you know that when you do it God's way, those ways are tested and proven over thousands of years, and they work? God knows what he's talking about. Now, if you are, if you heard about this series a couple of weeks ago, we were talking about it. If you are a guy, or if you're a lady, you both had different responses, didn't you? If you were a lady, you were like, oh yes, we're going to work on our marriage. It's going to be so great. And if you were a guy, you were like, honey, can you go and just take notes for me? She was like, why don't you want to go with me? It's going to be great. It's going to help us. Let's do this. You want to go? You want to go? Please, please. And he's like, honey, you just don't understand. We guys don't look at marriage the same way you ladies do. Yes. Ladies, if you want to understand something about guys and how they think about marriage, men think about marriage just about how you ladies, most of you ladies, think about your car. Guys think about marriage just about like most of you ladies think about your car. You don't. Ladies, for the most of you, isn't it true that you don't care how your car works? You don't care to understand it. You don't want to know how starter works and how tires work. When I tell my wife some things I was fixing at work, she's like, her eyes get glossy. You don't listen to sounds when your car drives. And if there is sound, do-do-do-do-do, you just turn on the radio louder. You just want to drive. The car is for driving. You don't want to think about it. Well, that's how guys think about marriage. You just got to work. That's it. I don't want to think about it. I don't want to understand it. I don't want to work on it. I just want it to work. Wife said to her husband, honey, we need to talk. We need to work on our marriage. And he said, what do you mean? Our marriage is fine. If it's not broken, don't try to fix it. You might break it while trying to fix it. Or imagine this. Husband and wife are driving in the car together. She turns on the music and they're listening to the music. Everything is going well. And suddenly he goes like, do you hear that? Turns off the music. Do you hear that? She's like, what happened? Did you hit somebody? I don't hear anything. He's like, that high pitch noise. Do you hear that? I don't hear anything. Let me listen to my music. That's all I want to hear. Honey, I think I got to take my truck to the shop because something is wrong with it. Guys, think about marriage as much as you think about your car, ladies. I'm going to help you understand man today, women. You'll understand man today. Or maybe, guys, maybe you bought your wife a car. And then you pulled out a manual and said, read this. And she's like, I'm not going to read that. I know how to drive a car. Gas, brake, gasoline, go. That's it. I don't want to read about it. And so when you ladies bring us a book about marriage, we might not say it to you to your face, but we're thinking about, really? It works. Don't ruin it. Anyway, today we're talking about reset. Reset your marriage. Now, if you're single today, you're like, what am I doing here? I'm a single person. Well, if you're single, you get to really enjoy this message because you get to enjoy it guilt-free. Right? And secretly, you get to make fun of us married people in your heart. And if you can learn one or two things about marriage, it will benefit you so you can do it right the first time. Amen? Amen. All right, let's get to the message. Reset your marriage. All of us married people come to marriage with a box full of desires. Wouldn't you agree? Take my Bible. And a box about this big right here. For example, we all come with, I want a big house. Oh, I'm dreaming about this house. The doors are broken. Got it from kids' church. But, you know, we start with a beginner house. You know, this is just the first one. We fix it up, you know. This one actually opens. We want this cute living room. No, this is a kitchen. There's a refrigerator right here full of food. Want a nice bathroom. The toilet seat is always down, of course. There's a hot tub in there. There's one sink. That's all we need is one sink, baby. You know, we're going to share, right? What else we got here? Living room. You know, we all come with these dreams. We're going to have this nice house, right? All right. Then we come, and what are some other desires we have? Oh, we're going to watch football together, right, ladies? Today is a kickoff of a football season. We're going to watch football, and she's going to love football. She's going to sit there, talk with me about plays and what they should have done. And so football, right? Catch. All right. Awesome. And then we come and we're going to get a dog, a cute little dog, right? And we're going to have a puppy and we're going to walk him together. We're going to go on a long walk after work. He works construction, walks all day, but he'll walk with me. Right? And then we're going to spend all of our time together. It's going to be the best. We're going to talk about everything. That's bad. And then we're going to get a sports car, preferably convertible. And we're going to drive this sports car. It's going to be so awesome. I've always dreamed of having a sports car, right? We come with the desires for a sports car. And then we want some toys like a four-wheeler, right? Guys, we got to have a four-wheeler, right? You couldn't afford it when you were growing up. Your parents, those bad parents, wouldn't buy you one. So now you can get some alone and buy yourself a four-wheeler. It's going to be so awesome. She's going to be in the back. There's no room, but still, you're so close, you don't need much room. All right? And then you're going to make money. And you're going to talk about how you're going to spend it. And you're going to go grocery shopping together. Yes, and it's going to be so cute. You'll be like that old couple. You know, they're always doing it together. And then your wife will always be smoking hot. She will never be like your mom wearing those long things to bed. She will only shop at Victoria's. And it's gonna be awesome. My wife will wear some like that all the time, and she'll never wear. And she comes to marriage thinking, my husband won't care what I wear. I can wear a baggies, blonde, holy t-shirt. I don't need makeup. He's going to love me the way I am, right? Right? And then we're going to do candle dinners. Oh, It's going to be so awesome. We're going to wash dishes together after dinner. And then we're going to go on vacations. Vacations, right? We're going to go to Paris. Paris. And it's going to be amazing. We're going to do walks on a beach. And it's a... And so he comes with a box of his desires, and she comes with a box of her desires. But something unexpected, even subconscious, happens at the altar. Somewhere between the honeymoon or the first week of your marriage, the desires, and this is unknowingly, guys, this is, doesn't happen by planning. This is unknowingly, the desires begin to be shifted from the box of desires to a new box. And that box is called, say it, expectations. And here's what ruins a lot of marriages, is when we take the box with desires and dump them in the box of expectations. We don't know when it happens, but when my desires are dumped on my spouse, they become expectations, and expectations ruin many relationships. When desires become expectations, the dynamic of the marriage changes for the worse. When desires become expectations, the dynamic of relationship changes for the worse. When you were dating, and that's why people don't want to get married these days, because when you're dating, we talk about our desires, and nobody's expecting anything really from one another because we don't have to be there. We chose to be there. But then when we get married, suddenly you owe me. And suddenly we start demanding the expectations that we dumped on our spouse. So she dumps her expectations on him, and he dumps his expectations on her. And then the marriage starts hurting. Because no one can meet all of your expectations. I remember I married my wife, Tanya. We had a great honeymoon. But after honeymoon, I owned a small business. And in my mind, I had an expectation that Tanya will do books. She'll do bookkeeping. She'll do taxes. And I even sent her to a tax. True story. Honey, you'd be good in this. Go to tax school. You know, you can do taxes. You can do our taxes. We can save a bunch of money. I mean, it's going to be awesome. And for 4 or 5 years, my expectations were not met. I had a desire that me and my wife will be into sports. I loved sports, right? So we got married, and we talked about it before the marriage. She's like, yeah, I love to run every day. And yeah, okay, I should have checked on that. But and then she was like, I love playing volleyball. I should have played volleyball with her, but I never did. So I was expecting, you know, she's going to be great, like the best girl in my church plays volleyball or something like that. And so I got married. We went to Minneapolis to her family's church picnic, and we started playing. And I'm 21. I have no patience. I still have no patience, but no patience, no self-control. And here I see my wife hit a ball, and it's a miss every single time. And she goes like, it's a miss. And I'm like, oh no, who did I marry? And she was probably thinking the same thing. Who is this guy? His underwear is everywhere. His socks are everywhere. He eats with his mouth open. And her expectations weren't met. And so for first 5 years, we had a horrible marriage. Next 5 years, we had an indifferent marriage, neutral marriage. And suddenly, and finally, in the next 7 years, we've been having a great growing marriage. Amen. But expectations will ruin your relationship, it will change your marriage for the worse. What happens when expectations are not met? You thought, guys, you'll have intimacy all the time, everywhere, in the back seat of the car. You thought he'll walk with you in the park. He doesn't. He's tired after work. What happens when expectations are not met? Four things. Number one, you leave. And you bring your box of desires. You get your box of desires. And then you dump it on somebody else. Start over. And when you start over, you always start in kindergarten again. So if you've been married for 5 years, you're like in middle school almost. But then when you start over, you always go to kindergarten. I have people who tell me, I thought the second time or third time would be easier. It's not. It's actually even harder. We dump our expectations on somebody else, but we don't change. Number two, when our expectations are not met, we try to force them on other people. I'm going to change my spouse. And usually in a marriage, there's one dominant and one kind of easygoing. And so the dominant one, you will do this. You will do this. Talking about your marriage, maybe? Feeling uncomfortable a little bit? You try to change your spouse. But here's the thing. You can never change another person. Only God can. And only over a long period of time. So if you want to change your spouse, you will always be frustrated. So if you're right now married to somebody and you're trying to change him, how that person eats, how that person sleeps, how that person whatever, you will be very disappointed. It won't work. Number three, when expectations are not met, we try to submit and say, fine, I'll do it your way. And for a while, you try to do, just don't yell. Don't yell anymore. I'll do it your way. Okay? I'll just do it your way. And for a while, you do it his way or her way. But doing it his or her way will never make you happy, truly. And so there's a nervous breakdown. And suddenly, the person tried to make you happy. Just stop threatening. I'll do it your way. Because, you know, one usually threatens, I'm going to leave. If you don't do it my way, I'm going to leave. And so, I'll do it your way. But you can only do something somebody's way for a little bit of time. Amen? Amen. And number four, you try to compromise. Okay, if you do this, I'll do this. And compromise is good, but it's not great. Because compromise is still, I do my part, and you better do your part. And if you don't do your part, I'm out. Compromise only works for a little bit of time. See what expectations do. They create a borrower-lender type of relationship in your marriage. Have you ever borrowed money from anybody? And then you couldn't pay them right away? What happens? You try to avoid them. You ignore them. You stop coming to their church. When you borrow money from somebody, that's why I don't like borrowing people money, because I tell people I would rather give you what I can give you right now, but I'm not going to borrow you money because I want a relationship with you. But expectations create a debt to debtor type of relationship. They create a banker versus a homeowner relationships. And then they become demanding. They become demanding. You never hear from your bank. When you pay your mortgage on time, do you? You only hear from the bank when you're late. You get a letter. Then you get a personal letter. Respond in 24 hours letter, right? You never get a letter. See, same thing happens in our relationships. When relationships are based on our expectations, when you do your part, You don't get any gratitude. I'm not thankful. You're just doing your job. Your bank is not thanking you every time you send them a mortgage payment. Same thing in our marriage. No matter what I do, it's never enough because you're supposed to do that. You're a wife. Isn't that what wives do? You're a husband. You're supposed to do that. And so he works 40, 50 hours a week, 60 hours a week, and it's still not enough. Because it's the expectations that are ruining your marriage, your relationship. Because when you pay your car payment, the bank does not send you a gift card. Thank you so much. We just appreciate and love you. And so it feels like, for a woman, it feels like she's his toy. Guys, listen to me. A woman is not your toy to play with. And for him, it feels like he's her slave. He just works, so she can, because that's expectations box. You're living in the expectation box. And so that's why when you bring a bonus home, she's like, give it to me. I'll pay the bills. And you're like, you were coming home thinking, oh, she's going to love me. I'm going to get something special today. You're coming home excited, thinking, oh, it's going to be great. And when you come home, she just grabs it. Because when you expect something, when they do what you expect, it brings you to ground zero. It never brings thankfulness. It never brings excitement in your marriage. When desires are dumped into the box of expectations, it becomes about what your spouse owes you. And that's why relationship is no more fun. When you were dating, it was so much fun. So much romance, so much excitement, because you were living here. Desires. You told her your desires. You're going to be a businessman. You're going to make a whole bunch of money, and you're going to be able to provide for her so she can stay home with the kids, blah, blah, blah. And you're going to have enough money, blah, blah. And then as soon as we get married, and this is subconscious, we dump it all on the other person. We say, make that happen for me. And the marriage goes from here. Pastor, are the desires wrong? Are they wrong? Well, maybe some of them are, but desires are not wrong. Absolutely not. God put desires in us. God put a desire for men to want to be respected. Right, guys? God put desires for a woman to be loved. God put desire for men to have intimacy, sex. God put desire in a woman for romance. God put those desires. God put desires of companionship, intimacy, admiration, respect. All those desires in us. They're not wrong. But when desires turn into expectations, that's when our marriage goes from love to a contract. Love to a contract. Covenant to a contract. Here's the difference. In covenant, when people did covenant in old days, they would say, your enemies would be my enemies. Your friends would be my friends. Your debts would be my debts. In a contract, I'll do my part if you do your part. If you don't do your part, I'm out. Desires are not wrong. They're given to us by God. And ultimately, listen to me, and I'm getting close to the end of this message. No person in the world can fulfill all your desires. Here's what the Bible says in Psalm. Put that Psalm 37:4. Listen to what it says. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Delight yourself in your wife, your husband, and he will give you the desires of your heart, right? Here's what you young couples need to understand. No person in the world will fulfill all of your desires. For example, I love a clean house. I'm a neat freak, okay? And you know, my wife knows that, so before I come home, I can see them all cleaning the house. Like, I could smell the vacuum still when I get home. But I appreciate it. But, and you would think I would come home and be like, hey, everybody, it's so good to see you. I love you. I come home and I look for that one spot. Did you see this? Oh, yeah, Dad, let me clean it up right away. Yeah. Honey, do you see that? The whole house could be clean, but there's just be one thing. Expectations. I want a clean house. And as long as you have expectations, it will never be enough. As long as your desires are in the box of expectations in your marriage, no matter what the other person does, it will never be enough. So what do we do with our desires? What do we do with our desires? Well, I'll answer it in a second. Is expectation ruining your marriage? Is expectations ruining your marriage? How do you know? How do you know if expectation is ruining your marriage? Number one, how you know you got expectation problem box in your marriage? There's an absence of gratitude. You never thank him anymore. You never thank her anymore. She washes a pile of dishes, a pile of laundry, but you never say thank you. Isn't that what women are supposed to do? Plus, make me a sandwich? You never say thank you. He works hard. He keeps your vehicles running. He cleans the snow, mows the lawn, trims the bushes and trees, and whatever else. He brings fish home from fishing. Yeah. I want salmon. Salmon. And you never say thank you. And when he was catching that fish, he was thinking of you, ladies. It's like your cat. When he catches a mouse, he brings it in front of your door and lays it down. Did you see? And you go, good boy, get rid of it. Eat it or something, or bury it, but get rid of it. Right? But when he was fishing, when he was working, he was thinking of you. Man, she's going to be happy. Let me put 2 more hours this week on each. But he was late for dinner. He's always late for dinner. Expectations. And so the marriage is turning for the worse. Number two, how do you know your expectations are ruining your marriage? The absence of helpfulness. You stop helping. There's a pile of dishes. When you were a boyfriend, you wanted to please her, so you didn't have to, but you washed the dishes. Or you took the plastic plates and threw them in the garbage. You did the dishes, whatever. But now it's not my job. I ain't doing that. He's working in the garage. Honey, can you help? That's not my job. I'm not doing that. You've put your desires in the you're living in the expectation box, and it's ruining your marriage. Some of you are laughing nervously because you know it's true. Because when a woman doesn't want to be a sex toy, She wants to be appreciated and desired and not be like, I did my part. Now your turn. She wants to be desired, not expected. It's Tuesday, baby. But I got a headache. I don't care. It's Tuesday. Because next time will be Thursday. But too much? Just a little? I'm helping you. Expectations. Guys, listen to me. Expectations squeeze out love, passion, and romance out of them. Marriage. Love is a gift, and gifts are only, love can only be freely given. Not expected or demanded. And that's what happened in the expectations box. How many of you are living in this box and you're tired of it? Don't raise your hand. Okay, just one. Okay. Thank you for your honesty, but don't raise your hand. What do we do? Well, we got to take that expectation and put it back into desire. More stuff. Got to take those toys and put it into desire. Time. Toys. Dogs. Money. House. Everything. We got to just put it all into this desire box. Imagine if your wife came to you and say, honey, I know we can't afford it right now, but wouldn't it be nice someday when the kids are out of the house, we can actually get that sports car for you? Oh, the man would get excited. And if he said, honey, I know we can't maybe afford it right now, but wouldn't it be nice if we could save up a little bit and go on vacation you always wanted to Greece? Honey, I know you like those candlelight dinners. I know you like me to put candles around the bathtub and just leave you alone. I won't, but good thinking. I know you wanted to go to Paris, and you know what? I'm going to work hard, and I'm going to help us so we can go to Paris. But let's put them where desires belong, in the desire box. And let's take this expectations box and get rid of it. Listen, we live in a free country. I don't have to be married to you. I want to be married to you because I love you. I don't have to do anything. I don't have to even work. I want to work so we can build, so we can get these desires together. I know you have this need, honey. And maybe I don't always want that, but I'm going to do it because I know that's your need. I want to help. I want to serve. I want to. And when our desires are placed in the right place, and then when we ask God, we say, God, some of my desires, I cannot. My wife cannot meet. Okay. I wanted to be married to a supermodel. Confess it to your pastor. That's a sin. But no, just kidding. Just kidding. But don't tell it to your wife. Some desires, just keep them between you and the Lord. If you really wanted a good marriage, don't marry a supermodel. Because, yeah, we see what happens. They change partners a lot. But if you want a marriage that lasts a lifetime, then So here's how do you reset your marriage? How do you reset your marriage? Take expectations and put it in desires. Can we have a keyboard player to come and play? All right. Bible says this. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will fulfill your desires. Ladies, stop packing your husband. Husband, stop begging and forcing and demanding your wife. It's a free will marriage. You didn't Nobody forced you. Your parents didn't arrange this thing so you have to stay together. No, you're doing it because you love one another. And if you give these desires, this house, this, before you know it, God will help you fulfill them. I was sitting with my wife in a restaurant, a nice restaurant we went to, and she said, "What do you want out of life?" And I said, "Is it bad for me to say that everything I ever wanted as a teenager, as a 20-year-old, God has given me?" She's like, "Don't say that. God wants more for you." I'm like, "Okay." But God is faithful. And in the last 17 years of our marriage, God has done amazing things. We have beautiful kids. We have a beautiful home. We're fulfilled in ministry. We're serving people. We work in business. I mean, God has fulfilled all of our desires. And the God who did it for us will do it for you. But what would we have missed out if we got a divorce in the first 5 years of our marriage? What if we missed out if we just said, you know, she's not meeting my needs. He's not, we're not talking abuse or anything, right? We're talking, he's not meeting my needs and I'm out of here. Only God can fulfill all of your needs. And maybe you can fulfill all of these together. If you start thinking, he doesn't owe me. She doesn't owe me. She does it because she loves me. He does it because he loves me. Our relationship dynamic starts growing. So when he comes from work, he's tired. You don't say, "Are you ready? We gotta go. You promised we're gonna go walk." No, you don't say that. You say, "Honey, would love to go walk with you, but thank you for what you're doing for us." Oh, that makes the man energized. He'll run for you. Sometimes. Right? Philippians, how do you delight yourself in the Lord? Well, you go before the Lord, and in Philippians 4, 6, and 7 says, "Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything." Tell God what you need. Tell God your desires. In another translation, it says, tell God your desires and thank him for what he has done. And watch this. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything you can understand. That's what we really want. I want that peace. I want that inner peace. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. Why do you need peace to guard your heart and mind? Because the devil attacks your heart and mind. And he always says, "It's not enough. He's not doing enough. She's not doing enough. It's not enough." And what it causes, calamity in your heart. And God says, when you present your desires to him, his peace will guard your heart and mind. So the devil cannot come through and panic you and stress you out and bring fear into your heart, because the peace of God is guarding, because you know God, you are faithful and you will do it. You will do what you promised. Were you blessed by this message? Don't miss next week. It's gonna be even better. If you know a couple who's married and they need to be here, make sure you drag him here somehow. Offer him lunch or something. I don't care. But bring him here so they can be blessed. But let's pray. I want to pray for your marriage. Husbands, wives, if you're sitting next to one another, join hands. Join hands and I want to pray for you. Father, I release a special anointing right now upon the marriage. If your marriage is struggling today, just in your heart, just say, "God, I receive this blessing for my marriage." Father, in Jesus' name, heal our marriages, God. Restore our marriages, God. Change us in our marriages, Lord, so we can bring you glory. So our marriages could be city on a hill to shine to this dark world, God. So we wouldn't be another statistic, God. But our marriage would glorify you, because that's what it's supposed to do. Bless all of the people in this house and those who are going to be married, that they would do it right, God. That they would follow your advice, your wisdom. In Jesus' mighty name. And right now we thank you for miraculous intervention in our marriages. I thank you, God, that we will humble ourselves and do what was preached today. And you will heal us, because you resist the proud. And as a man, I know if I would have heard this message, I would probably resist it in my heart, knowing that it could help me, Father. So I pray, God, right now, we as men, we humble ourselves. We say, God, you know best. It's not what pastor said to me today. It's about what you said to me today, God. So you know best, God. And as wives, we can forgive and let go and be able to start over. So I speak that healing. I thank you for the anointing that's flowing in this house. I thank you that faith has been risen up, God, inside of our hearts. And I thank you for what you're going to do in Jesus' mighty name. And the people of God said, amen. Clap your hands and bless God.